You're listening to Octahedron, episode 9. It's Wednesday, the 11th of June, 2025. And our last episode was published 8 years ago. Around about 8... It was 8 years and 1 month or something like this?
Supposedly July 19th, 2017.
Yeah. And this episode 0 was recorded 19th of June, 2016. So we're more or less on time because we're going in 9 year cycles.
So we are going for 1 year and then another 9 year pause?
Yes, exactly. We're very consistent. Yeah. So, and we are recording from a secret location not far from where Protocol Berg would be tomorrow. And it's the second Protocol Berg.
Yeah, and Protocol Berg is the reason for our reboot and the reason, no, I don't know the reason why we stopped, but I stopped publishing podcasts because my WordPress got hacked all the time and I was too lazy to update everything. And now I have a setup where I render a static site that hopefully is not hacked. It should be fine. So that is an explanation why there was such a long pause. And I'm thankful that you kicked my ass to do this again, Xenia.
Okay, I kicked my own ass. So I was thinking about along the following lines. So if you wake up a person now who was in a reefer sleep since our last episode, what do you think would be the most important thing for them to know about all this crypto space?
Well, Since I'm mostly interested in Ethereum and related chains, I would say Ethereum finally got rid of proof of work. That's the biggest improvement and also it's usable again. So there was a phase where either the fees were really high or the blocks were really full. But I did some transactions today and I was surprised how cheap and how smooth it went. So apparently there's no congestion at the moment.
Cheap and cheerful again. Yeah.
And maybe that's because there are... the other thing that I would mention is that there are lots of other chains and second level, like layer twos. Notable mention maybe Gnosis chain.
Yeah, it was also an interesting story.
Which is also cheap, maybe I should disclose that I'm a validator on Gnosis Chain.
Cheap.
I didn't know what to do with my GNO tokens, so I run a validator there.
Yeah, so then another question I was thinking about is like, do they want to be brought up to speed at all? Because right now it feels like we sort of exist in this ever exponentially growing amount of information that sort of harder and harder to curate. Like, for instance, today when I turned up at Protocol Berg venue, I was thinking what kind of questions I can ask people who we will interview. And I was thinking one question that comes to mind is like, how do people know to like where to go or what are they like interested in? How do they choose their field of interest in all this information overload right now? I guess there are people who just worked on the same stuff for the past 9 years, and that's quite fascinating, I think.
Yeah.
And some people found some niches that they find interesting because, yeah, like some bottlenecks that the space ran into and,
solved.
Solved or not
and
solved.
Some
yet.
Other things that have not been solved. So, when I started working for Gnosis in 2020 and on the mobile wallet for the safe, there was no way to implement this in a decentralized fashion. You always you still, I would say, you still need a centralized RPC service to use a mobile wallet. And yeah, maybe Portal Network can change that, or maybe there are other changes coming, and some changes did already come. And I hope we can talk about that, because that's what I'm most interested in, mobile wallets. It's really, I think it's really unfortunate that Ethereum and all the other chains don't have something that Bitcoin had from the beginning, which was SPV wallets. So you could write or program an Android wallet like 2010, when Bitcoin was really in its infancy. Because there was a way to handle it on a mobile device that doesn't have much internet, that doesn't have much storage, storage, and that also doesn't have much computing power, and Ethereum still doesn't have that. And yeah, that's my pet peeve.
Yeah, well, I think it's legit, because if you tell someone, oh yeah, this company doesn't want to have an app, everybody's like, oh, come on. Are you some kind of a dot-com boomer? And actually, yeah.
I mean, there are apps, and probably users don't care that they have to rely on centralized and services, and also, in a way, trust them. Although there are also some developments that make that trust less important. But they're still not permissionless. Right, you always have to have permission to use Infura, like have an account, pay for it, or use the free tier and stuff like that. What's on your list? What else is on your list?
So basically, what I shamefully, together with ChatGPT, put together was like 10 years of crypto, and I realized that if this person who wakes up from a reefer's sleep and they don't know what was going on, and they don't have to talk to me. They can just like have a rough idea summarized by this like generic ass AI stuff. And what I think is interesting is not to bring people up to speed to some kind of like generic stuff that everybody kind of knows about, but this is like what generic stuff I collected. So 2016, 2017, ICO boom. Well, I can call myself ICO boomer, right? ICO boom and Ethereum expansion. Then 2018, crash and crypto winter, massive market correction. So 2019, rise of DeFi. MakerDAO, Compound, Uniswap become cornerstones of DeFi. DAOs make a quiet comeback in more structured forms. 2020, institutional entry, DeFi explosion. COVID-19 lockdowns increase interest in crypto and self-sovereign finance. DeFi summer, billions in total value locked, TVL. Yield farming becomes a buzzword. ETH 2.0 phase zero, Beacon Chain launches. 2021, NFT and mainstream hype. So, blah blah blah. China bans crypto, of course.
They do that every year. Right?
Yes, yeah.
At the time.
2022, crash, contagion, and disillusionment. China bans crypto. 2023, building through the rubble. A lot of zero knowledge stuff. NFTs cool off. Everybody hates NFTs. Regulatory battles heat up, especially in the US. And 2024, regenerative finance. It's called ReFi, and I call it Regen Degen. So regenerative finance is basically crypto casualties that totally like fried their dopamine circuits from like crazy cycles, and they got into permaculture. But they still like take a lot of Adderall, and
I don't get it. What is refinance?
Regenerative finance. It's a little bit like I sound a little bit dismissive, but yeah, I don't know, maybe I aged. So regenerative finance, I think it's some kind of a fashion, I guess, where people who used to be into crypto started to get into like farming and
That's so, the regenerative
part. Yeah, I went to...
And that happened. And that's the thing.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's like, it's a bit like DeSci, like decentralized science. It's like you just like put D everywhere and... Yeah, but...
Okay, maybe we can find someone who knows more about this.
And yeah, I was just laughing about it because it's very much like... Yeah, I mean, people just got tired of this sort of
or
tech
old
bro...
And got kids and
yes,
wanted
yeah, yeah.
to move out of the city and have their farm.
Exactly. A lot of this happened, right? It's kind of, I think people who went through burnouts...
Also,
they,
yeah.
They gravitate towards something regenerative and... like slow and like planting tomatoes. But the problem is if you like a crypto bro or sis at heart, you still like have this kind of energy. So I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah. And then 2025 so far, AI and crypto convergence. I haven't seen this happening. But I heard, for instance, that some machine learning was happening on Bitcoin blockchain like 10
really?
Years ago.
Ah, okay. I recently met someone I worked, well, we worked in the same office. We didn't work in the same company, but actually maybe I can get him for an interview because I didn't fully understand what he's doing with AI agents and blockchain.
It's because you're not an AI agent. You have to be.
I mean, I got the gist of it, I think, but I didn't fully understand it. So maybe if we can, I will write down his name and ask him if he's up for it. He's in Berlin, based in Berlin anyways. So
yeah, I was also interested in what I see sort of how it can be interesting because the data is interesting. It's like a lot of like real financial data. So you can definitely train models.
What I understood from this is that his agent allows people to basically chat with the agent and create a transaction out of it. So that you tell the agent what you want to do a swap or a loan, or he didn't say that, but that's what I imagine you could talk to with the agent about, and then the agent in the end will create the transaction for you based on your instructions. Maybe I'm probably misrepresenting everything he's doing, but it sounded interesting.
It sounded
useful. Let's put it this way.
Like I'm thinking that the for me it makes total sense if AI agents will have their own DAOs, because when mm-hmm. people are in DAOs, it's a disaster because
yeah,
just
I
the way we feel
this,
things,
this,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's very emotional. And because it's all this kind of proposals and...
Also, the enforcement is a problem, right? You have a decision and then no person enforces it, then it will not happen even if people voted on it, except if you have a voting process that triggers a contract directly or could trigger. I mean, this is probably also... or this probably also exists already.
Yeah, but we can actually ask tomorrow,
yeah,
like
find people,
the guests and stuff,
who know about this
because
stuff.
That makes total sense to me. If like, because every time when there was this like DAO summer or whatever, it was like I was really interested. Then it became some kind of crazy, overcomplicated pyramid casino space. Like I don't really want to go into it, but it sort of makes sense to me if main actors in DAOs are like AI agents with certain behaviors and stuff that maybe can be interesting. Yeah, but I don't know much about it either, so we can go in depth. That's the idea, to grab some guests and see what they know in depth. Yeah.
We can wrap it up.
Yeah, yeah, we can wrap it up, definitely.
Okay, so this is our reboot episode, and we will see what's coming. I hope we will have some interesting... I'm sure we will have some interesting people to interview.
Yeah.
I know some guys in Berlin
but also out of outside yeah. Berlin.
And maybe we can even have a setup where we have a remote speaker.
But we can try.
Okay, cool.
Okay, that was the episode 9?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
The Octahedron reboot, improvised partly.
Okay, bye.
Bye.